Thank the Lord for all the great messages in the singing today. Really builds up our faith and, you know, all the good news you heard. Jesus wants to do all that for us. And He'll do that one step at a time. We rely on Him and lean on Him for all His grace and benefit. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. And that's a fearful word, I think a sobering word, but also invites us to some really joyful obedience. And I'm going to share first part of the message testimony, second part Bible, as it were. Early in my life, and also as a Christian, I had a pretty hard time connecting love with obedience in terms of how I related to God. I'll just share a couple things. They were all in my head, in my emotions. That was my problem, not God's problem, nor the Bible's problem. But when I thought of love, I thought of a smile. When I thought of obedience, I thought of biting my lip. When I thought of love, I thought of being spontaneous. When I thought of obedience, I thought of grunting effort, sweating, getting over a lot of reluctance. When I thought of love, I thought of red roses. When I thought of obedience, I thought of calloused hands and pain. Okay, pretty rough time. And when I thought of love, I thought of being tender. Love me tender, as somebody once said. Or even a love God, you know. Became almost like a bad Barry Manilow song of, you know, some kind of relationship with God that was warm and helped me feel good. In terms of changing my behavior, that was a little on the slow side. But the Lord's faithful, and so bringing those two together in my soul, obedience and love going together, and Jesus helping us with that and teaching us a lot about that. Before I became a Christian, I was taught that my obedience to God was like a ladder by which I climbed by my obedience to receive forgiveness and heaven. Okay? So I was always working to obey God because I knew that was very important. Wanted to try to go to heaven, didn't want to go to hell, which my soul was more leaning toward. And I was wrongly taught again how much I obeyed God proved whether I deserved heaven or not. And of course, that's not true. That's not in the Bible. That's a false gospel. And because I thought that obedience was not, even as a Christian, important in my relationship with Christ. This is even after I received Christ. I became real excited about certain aspects of the Christian faith. The person of who Jesus is. We find no fault in Him. He is absolutely strong and wonderful and reaches out to us. So I became excited about the Lord, the cross, what He did for us, the resurrection, what He did for us, sending His Spirit. So thankful for that, the Bible, and all those things. And obedience to God was about 20th on my list in terms of what I was really excited about. Okay. Was not near the front. I thought, and sadly, that's a danger. If you talk about obedience so much, I shared Wednesday night, if you were a Christian and you talked about obedience all the time, I thought, man, you are legalistic. That's all you do is go around, you know, wanting to know if everybody's obeying God and all the commandments and so on. I thought that was a big turnoff. But Jesus did not treat obedience that way. He treated it as a result of the affection and faith and love we have for God. And obedience was such a high priority to Jesus. It wasn't, this is the gospel, it wasn't our obedience that gave us peace with God. It was Jesus' obedience that gave us peace with God. Okay, so obedience is a really, really big deal. He gave His life at the cross, rose from the dead. Jesus' obedience gives you the gift of heaven. Not your obedience or my obedience. That comes as a privilege and a calling and a thank you to God. Sometimes I like to think about different parts of the Bible and in regards to Genesis, first couple chapters, what paradise might be like. I don't know if you ever thought about that. Before there were sin problems and disobedience and all that. And, you know, you think about, well, what was the weather like? What did the food taste like? You know, and how did Adam and Eve relate so well? And since then, we have related not very well, needing God's intervention. But when we think about paradise, one of the things that was true about paradise was Adam and Eve obeyed God all the time. So isn't that a beautiful picture of obedience? Sometimes if you pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done, we're really saying, help me obey you, because it makes obedience very, very attractive. When I obey God, I'm staying in fellowship with Him. I'm saying, yes, Lord, your way is the best. And it's almost like a small taste of paradise when you obey God. It certainly would draw us closer to Him in that way. Also, as a believer, I think about loving the Lord in different manners. Glad about we could pray to love God. We'll do that a little bit throughout the day, maybe continually in our mind. We could praise God. That'll happen. Read God's Word if we're real, real committed, you know, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. So that'll be something. But Jesus, He said, when you love me, this is how I want you to love me. Obey my commandments. In other words, throughout the day, you and I have that wonderful opportunity to love God all the time in our soul, to do the second commandment that is like it, to love the people in our lives like we love ourselves. So that way of loving God is more consistent, more intense, more credible, as it were, than even my very important prayer life, not minimizing that, Bible time, not minimizing that, church time. Hey, at least give it, you know, once a week for an hour. Those things, real, real important. Obey Jesus' commands. Certainly the first bunch are a part of it, but more how we relate to God and others, loving others as ourselves. Big deal to God. Even it really elevates, for example, His Word. When it comes to studying God's Word, my problem, and maybe you think about it, has not been that I didn't understand the Bible. Okay, people who analyze the Bible say it was really, to get the main message, it was written on a fourth grade, sixth grade reading level. If you're a fourth grader, you're fifth, sixth grade, you're going to be able to read the Bible and know Christ is Lord. No, you need to trust Him. Okay, His Holy Spirit can do that for you. So it wasn't so much I didn't understand the Bible, but the hard part was doing what God's Word asked me to do. That was the hard part. And Jesus said that part would be a way of saying, oh, Lord, I'm amazed at Your love, and I want to love You back. And so that's the call that we'll be hearing in the next few weeks. Love always obeys. Okay, love always obeys, and get that in our soul. Billy Graham's grandson thought about his own obedience to God, and he wrote this in his recent book. He said, I need a miracle every day to obey Jesus' teaching. Okay, that's pretty powerful. Because when I see the standard of Jesus obeying Him, I need His grace and help all the more, all the more. You know, sometimes when we look at obedience and get afraid of it, we think, well, let's get away from that because we don't want to be legalistic. But actually, looking at Christ elevates obedience more than just looking at our obedience would. Because we look at Him and what He said, like, oh, I want Him to work in my soul so I could live this way and even want to live this way. And to know our souls, we're not created for disobedience, or, you know, we feel that anxiousness in our soul, relationships out of kilter, work life becomes more a pain than a blessing. You know, all that's a result of something's not right between me and the Lord. I want to be at peace with Him. And then He makes it a bit of a highway in terms of how we could follow Him. Our soul, meant to be loved by God. Jesus takes care of that part. And meant to love back. And so we're not ever at rest or at peace until we surrender that soul to the Lord and give it to Him in obedience and trust and love. So I wanted to share that in terms of a place of obedience connected to love, which I have struggled with, but the Lord doesn't struggle with it. In fact, He expressed His love for us in a very powerful, life-changing, history-changing way. Love demonstrated at the cross, rising from the dead. Comes to knock on the door of our soul so that He could be with us and we could be with Him forever. Now that's practical love. And the kind of love the Lord makes us able, gives us the ability to pass on to others. Of course, always leaning on Him. So Jesus' teaching, back to the passage now. His apostles, this is during the Last Supper, John chapter 13 through 17. Pretty much happened during the Last Supper that Jesus had with His followers. If you read it that way, it gives you that intimacy with the Lord. He says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. And it's almost like Jesus is making a promise, I think, to His followers. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. It's going to happen. Fish will swim, birds will fly. Christians will obey God. Okay, our heart has to follow who we have given our heart to. And then Jesus says, if you don't love me, you won't obey my teaching. So it becomes a real personal check on, you know, whether I love God or not. Not just whether, oh, I got this sin problem over here. It really bugs me, you know. So at that point, I'm showing unloved to God. He invites me to know His love there so I can love Him back. If I have no love, I have no obedience. If I'm going astray, it's not an obedience problem, it's a love problem. So the Lord makes it more intense, more personal. A partial obedience is no obedience. The Lord wants us to surrender everything to Him. And sometimes obedience seems costly to us because we think, wow, I'm going to have to be unselfish then. And I'm going to have to put the other guy first. And I want to be talking to God more than myself. But you know what? Obedience may look like it costs us, but disobedience costs us so much more. So much more. You think of the health of your own soul. The things that pain you and I the most are when we disobeyed God, really, or somebody else didn't dump on us, you know, from that. The difficulty of our needing God's help to obey Him. Francis Chan, nationally known Christian speaker. I think he was here last night talking to the college age group on a video there. But he's a very good speaker in he recently prayed this prayer, help, Lord, I don't love you. He's a very committed Christian. He prays, help, Lord, I don't love you. I'm not strong enough to love you or obey you on my own. I need you desperately. Make my heart strong with love for yourself. So Chan is confessing a problem that he has with, you know, Lord, I know I don't love you as I should. Make my heart committed to love to you. And that happens most often when we realize God loves us. He wins us over. John, you know, the apostle, he was known as the apostle of love. He said, hey, this is love. Not that we love God, but that He first loved us. He sent His Son for us. That wins us over. You know, let your soul look at Christ. And I know if you catch a glimpse of Him, you will say, oh, Lord, you'll love Him. You'll ask for His help in loving Him. And it's almost like Jesus heard Chan's prayer 2,000 years ahead of time because He says, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor, helper, someone just like Jesus, the Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth, and He will be with you forever. So God's Spirit helps us love and obey Christ. We're powerless to do so otherwise. And that makes our obedience to Christ more than a scary thing, more than, oh, it's very difficult, more than, oh, I've fallen 1,000 times. It makes our obedience to Christ a gift from Him. A gift from Him. That He actually helps us obey Him. Wow. It's like you're trying to learn how to play golf and, on your own, you're horrible. And Jesus becomes, He sends His Spirit. And He stands beside you holding that club. Spirit's in you. And then you hit it. And you think, wow, par 3. I obeyed God. I can't believe it. It's a blessing. It's a privilege, a gift from Him and a work of His grace. And you and I get to know the Lord by obeying Him. Someone pointed this out to us the other day, that when we show our love by obedience, it's like leaning on the Lord and putting our hand in His, and you end up walking together. And we're going to close with an obedience prayer for, out of love for God here in a minute. But I want us to catch the importance of obeying the commands of God as the primary way of loving Him. It's not just preaching. Do that, once or twice a week. It's not just sharing the gospel. The commands of God to love Him and to love other people. Pretty exciting life. Humbling life. Not an ordinary life. Okay. Some of you says, that to me, that looks like life and life eternal. Residing in the soul of a person. And if you can think of it in the sequence, starting with the love of God, the mercy of God coming toward us. At communion is Jesus' teaching. If you love me, obey my commandments. It's the love of God and the mercy of God. And then back to God, we give gratitude and obedience. That's something that we begin to love to do. As a Christian, I've said many times, I'll probably say it until I go to heaven, I'm always thankful when I obey God. I always am. It's part of, you hear the angels rejoice, He didn't do that before. That's like repentance. Angels rejoice. I rejoice. The Lord says, I knew we could do it together. That's a works He prepares in advance to us to do. And I always am sad when I don't obey God. Okay. Bring great grief to my soul. And bigger grief to His. And yet He's forgiving to say, turn, repent, because my kingdom is near in your heart. So in our closing prayer, besides praying for people who have needs, I wanted to go through some of the major commands of the Lord and just say, Lord, help me us love you by doing these things. And out of a thanks to you, out of a privilege, obedience is a privilege, and this is really a gift to you back, Lord. Some of you are in the band or maybe take dance lessons. When you play that tune or when you dance the dance, and the one who taught you is there, isn't that a gift back to them? If they're a good teacher, they don't say, "Well, I love you now. You played all the notes right." No, you're just saying, "Well, they loved you anyway," and you're saying, "Thank you." So our obedience as a gift from Him. If we love Him, we'll obey His teaching. Let's pray together. Father, thank you, Jesus, for telling us this truth. You told us 3 times in this sequence by the Lord's table. If we love you, we'll obey your commandments. And all of a sudden, we might feel heaviness on our shoulders and say, uh-oh, now we're in for it. But we could say, yes, this is pleasant from God. This is a way to trust Him. This is a way to walk with Him. So, Lord, help us love you by our daily obedience, moment by moment. We start off by saying, Lord, We love you with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. We give these aspects of who we are to you. And we don't want to be split in our affections. So we just give them to you, dear Jesus. And Lord, we love other people as you have loved us. We want to love you this way. And we recognize our own sin and brokenness, apathy and even hatred. When we say, this is beyond the ideal. But this is from God. This is a practice that we can do. And many, many around us do it very well. So we just have to watch and learn. Be yourself in us to love other people. And then we think of your big commandments in the Old Testament. Lord, we love you, Jesus, by having no other ones before you. Hear us as we talk to you about that. We love you by having no other ones before you. And then, Lord, this great commandment, we love you, Jesus, by not taking your name in vain, by always respecting who you are, by not saying in a moment of surprise or anger, oh my God. But we don't say God's name unless we're praying to him or talking about his goodness. Help us love you like this. And then, Lord, we love you by keeping your Sabbath day holy. So we take that rest and we take that worship time and we say, this is a 52-day vacation every year. God builds into the creation. And then, Lord, we love you by honoring our father and mother. They were not perfect, and that's not a stipulation for honor. We honor them because you put them in our lives. They're made in your image. So we want to love you by honoring them. Lord, and we continue to want to love you. Lord, we love you by not murdering or committing adultery in our mind and heart. And Lord, this is kind of the angry, selfish way to live. I know my favorite TV shows are all about murder with some adultery thrown in there. And that's something not good about my mind and heart, just taking in one show after the next as if it's going to give me a thrill that I'm somehow missing. Want to love you, Lord, with a strong heart and a faithful mind. And then, Lord, we love you by not stealing or having false testimony. In other words, loving the truth. And by not coveting. We love you, Lord, by being grateful for the millions of gifts you give us. And we do think of you've lavished your love upon us. The incomparable riches of who Christ is. Well, the weakest Christian here, Lord, we wouldn't trade places with the wealthiest guy in the world who didn't know you. We'd say, that guy's missing out on life. He has a pathetic life compared to knowing the Lord. We're grateful and we pray for all people to turn to you. And Father, we pray for people who have needs. We ask for your help for them, for Wendy Lynn. Take her pain away from the terrible toothache she has. People in the hospital, Joanne Stanley, please give her recovery from her difficult time. Bob O'Brien, give him help. For John Davis, recovery for John. For the people fighting Ebola, many have died overseas and some are threatened in our own country. Please, send help medically, and we cry out for your mercy against things that are too big for us or the best of the medical community. Father, we pray for those recovering from cancer. We want that for them. For people held captive in Iran and Iraq, as you set people free in their soul and physically, please do that for these dear folks. For grocery ministry, Lord, might that touch, change us and change many, and teach us that you're the daily bread for each one of us. And hear our silent prayers as we gratefully follow your voice, both in your word and by your spirit. Hear our prayers.